Thank you. Beautiful. Who is this child? At some point in probably all of our lives, we may have wrestled with that question, the question that a lot of people have: is Christianity really true? Does it really exist? Is there a purpose in Christianity? Many people were raised in a Christian home, and those that were especially blessed. Some of us that weren't raised in a Christian home, but were expected that you attended Sunday school, that too, you know, we can be thankful for and appreciate the fact that that happened. But sometime in our lives, many people are going to be confronted with questions and things that question their Christianity and make them wonder. It might be some skit on Saturday Night Live, which is no longer funny, but that ridicules Christianity or makes light of a person's relationship with Jesus Christ. It might be a friend. You might have a friend that at some point will tell you that they're an agnostic. They no longer believe. And so where's that put me? If they don't believe, do I believe? And so if we make that profession of belief in Jesus Christ and we put our lives in Him, and difficult things will challenge us in our lives, and we pray, and then we wonder if maybe God might be on vacation. Because the answer doesn't come as soon as we want it. It doesn't come as immediately as we expect it. And so doubts will start creeping in. This is just human nature. We begin to wonder, we begin to think, we begin, what's His plan for our lives? I thought we had it all laid out. This is what I thought You wanted me to do. And then all of a sudden, things change. And my course takes a different one than what it was. Then along comes Satan. You can be guaranteed he'll put some ideas and some thoughts on our mind that make us really question what God's plan is for us and what's our expectation. There's no doubt that that's going to happen. Or we might read somewhere in the Bible and we see where slavery was instituted and slavery exists and slavery was approved. And so how do I deal with that? We might read a passage in Scripture somewhere and see where God ordered the slaughter of millions of Canaanites. Well, how can a God of love and justice want to murder people? How can that happen? That shouldn't happen. And we read all kinds of things that, you know, in the Bible that sometimes will contradict themselves. We look at predestination. What's he mean by predestination? It may not mean anything to some people. But what it means is he'd be predestined, every one of us, to find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some churches will teach that he only chose certain ones. You know what that means if you're not one of the chosen ones? You're out of luck. But that's not true. Difficult issues make us question things in our lives and make us question our relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of the message today is full of Scripture. Because when we begin to look at who is this child, the best way to find out is to go back to Scripture. And we look at those questions. And it's a question that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16:13. He says, who do other people say the Son of Man is? He didn't ask the disciples at this time who they thought, but he asked them. He says, who do other people think that I am? What's your spouse say? What's your children say? What's your neighbor say when you say, you know, who is this Jesus guy? And so we didn't put it on them. The disciples answered and said, some say it's John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. Others, Jeremiah. Some of my friends will say, you know, he's just a prophet. Or he was one of the prophets. And Jesus then asked the question in a different way. He says, but who do you say that I am? And I've spoken many times about my fondness and appreciation of Peter, because he never seemed to be able to curtail his tongue. He was the guy that said something and then thought about it. Sometimes I'm that away. I'm trying to get better about it. But he said, Peter answered, he says, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for only God could have shown that to you." So who is this child? It didn't take long, though, for Peter's faith to be questioned. Because Jesus began to teach about in a few days, he was going to be arrested, he was going to be judged, and he was going to be crucified. And that on the third day he would rise again. And what's Peter say? Peter says, "No, it's not going to happen." He rebuked him. Peter rebuked Jesus, and Jesus simply looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You sound more like what the people say than what the Word of God says." You can't pay attention to what people say. And Peter could have done one of two things that day. He could have walked away, or he could have remembered what he said earlier. "You are the Son of God." And there's choices that everybody makes, no matter who we are. Many people in Jesus' day had difficulty. Sometimes I sound like I'm in a barrel. That's not part of the message. But the people that day had some of the same issues. Jesus told them. He said that no man could come to him unless he went to the Father. And the Father granted him permission to come to Jesus. And that affected a lot of people. They didn't like that. And then Peter, later on in John's Gospel, in chapter 6, verses 68 to 69, said, when Jesus asked them the difficult question, he said, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." So Jesus said to those that were with him, "Are you going to walk away?" Peter said it again. "Where would we go? We don't have anywhere else to go." So as we look in Matthew and what was read in the Bible, say in Matthew 1:18, and Greg read it, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child." That whole idea of betrothal is something different than what we're accustomed to or what we understand. But in those days, parents arranged weddings for their children. And don't be sitting there thinking, "Well, maybe I would have been better off if my parents would have arranged mine, Cindy." But this whole process and this whole idea of betrothal was that they picked them out, and then there was a contract written up. And during this contract period, there was a year of waiting. And even though they were considered husband and wife, they didn't live together. They lived with their own families. But during that year, and this is what gets so interesting about the whole idea of the Immaculate Conception and the conception of Jesus Christ, is that if anything happened and a woman became pregnant, then she was not pure any longer. And so that's when Joseph said he was going to put her away quietly. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to, to make any issues about what had happened. But as he was planning to do that, it's when the angel of the Lord come to him and say, "Hey, Joseph, wait a minute. I know what I'm doing. And let's talk about this." That's a paraphrase. "But let's talk about this. I got something I want to tell you about this baby." And so when he, you know, and there was like four different times, I believe, that the angel talked to Joseph and came to him in a dream during this period. Matthew and Luke both record the whole Christmas story. Scholars will tell you that Matthew and Luke probably knew Mary and probably talked to her, got a first-hand account of what happened and what occurred during this whole time when things were going on in her life. And so when we look at this idea of a divine conception, we have to understand that in order for Jesus Christ to be human and yet divine, he had to have a human mother. Otherwise, he wouldn't have understood what it was to be a human being and what it would have been to walk on the face of the earth. But yet, had he not had a divine father, he wouldn't have known what it would to be deity or to be divine. Now, there are some people that will tell you, and we look, and you know, and you can read different things, but believing that the virgin birth is as it was reported is important for us to affirm not only his humanity, but also his deity. There's some scholars that will say, well, Mary was conceived the same way. But she also said in Luke 1:47, she says, God, my Savior. You don't need a Savior if you're divine. But you need a Savior if you're human, and that's what we all need. Jesus is an eternal God. We can take any needs to him. We can take any concerns we have to him. We can take anything that is on our mind that troubles us to God. I'm thankful for what Sandy said about the power of prayer. We have an intercessory prayer team here. And I'm going to be sharing this week about four of the Operation Magi families. And I could ask Jim this question, and I think I know Jim's answer, but when you talk to enough people, and he's done investigations, and I work for an insurance company, and you get used to, you can become familiar with who's telling you the truth and who's lying to you. It's pretty easy. And so there was four families there that really, I don't know how to say it, just kind of struck home with me. And one said that my husband is shy. Okay. Anybody in here shy? Hi, Olivia. Now, I mean, we are shy. I'm basically an introvert. I have to work at it. But I told her, I said, after the first year, you guys are going to dinner. Well, I don't know if you'll talk or something along those lines. I don't remember exactly what she said, Nancy, but she was, you know, she was talking, something like that. I said, well, we'll find out. I'm not gonna badger people, but we're not gonna leave these people alone. Every one of those four that I just, you know, just really struck me as honest and legitimate. And so as we think about, and I'm going to get a little off the subject, on the subject, but off the subject, as we think about Christmas, and as we think about what we're going to do tomorrow evening with our families, and what we're going to do Christmas morning, think about those 10 families, if you would. Say a prayer, if it's nothing more than, Lord, I'm thankful I could be part of their Christmas. It doesn't have to be a great liturgical prayer. I'm not sure that Jesus is into liturgy. But just thank God. And somehow Nancy and one of the ladies was talking about child abuse. I don't remember exactly. I think I missed the first part of the conversation. But I came in and we were talking about, I got involved in the conversation, and I mentioned, I can only imagine, we're going to do the series, we're going to do we're going to show the movie next month. And we're going to do a series in January on the theme of that movie. And she said, I just love that song. And I said, we're going to show the movie. Love to have you come. And she was telling us about her daughter who at 5 was killed on an ATV. And you face that at Christmas. But it's easier to face if we have someone like Jesus that we can talk to. That's what the message of Christmas really is. Who is this child? Peter said it really well. You're the Son of God. But to us, it might be somebody that listens to me. It might be somebody that I can talk to and never tell somebody else what's on my mind. That's who Jesus is. Someone that just says, come, open your heart, and let me change you. May not need a lot of changing, but we do need forgiveness. At the end of the service, we're going to invite you to accept Jesus. It's not going to be, come up front. I don't do that. But we're going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer and just receive Jesus at this Christmas time, because that is what this child is all about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you gave us Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that we set aside a time to honor his birth, to worship him, to read the story, to read the Christmas story, to read about the wise men, to read about the shepherds, read about the gifts. And so, Father, just somehow open our hearts to receive the message that all I want to do is forgive your sin and give you an opportunity to spend eternity with me. We thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.